verse 8. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The mind of God is different than the mind of man. God does not think like we think. Okay? Or maybe put the other way, is we do not think like God thinks. And it's our thoughts that lead to actions. Isaiah 55, 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." We think a certain way, we act a certain way. Well, God thinks and God acts according to his thinking, not our thinking. It's in Numbers 23 and verse 19 that God has recorded, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good?" God is not a man. You say, well, it doesn't say anything there about his mind. God is not a man that he should lie. It never enters into the mind of God to lie. Amen. It'll enter into the mind of a man to lie, and but you know I'm using the term man in the generic sense. That includes women, and it includes children as well. Amen. We're not talking chronologically. And so, but God is not a man. He does not think like we do, therefore it does not enter into his mind to lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Now, you and I need to repent. We need to change our outlook, our view, our attitude, our thinking about our life and sin. We need to repent and turn to God. Perhaps someone is thinking right now, "Oh, but I remember reading where it repented God." Let me give you some information here. The most basic understanding of the word repent is change. Okay? And when you read that it repented God that he had done something, okay, it's simply saying he changed his mind. Right. He said he would do this for somebody, but they didn't do their part, so then he changed his mind. In other words, I said I'd do this for you, but you didn't do what you were supposed to, so I'm changing, okay, because of their reaction or lack of reaction. However, when repentance is used in what I'll call the traditional sense in the Bible, and when it's used in regards to us, yes, it's talking about change, but changing from a sinful way of living, changing from a sinful outlook, changing from our man's view of things to God's. You say, God doesn't have anything that way to change. He has nothing that he must leave.
That's right.
We do.
Yes, exactly.
And so you have to understand that when the Bible uses the term repent. Now, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 also says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." God does not have a mind like ours. He has a mind, but it's not like ours. And that's why we are told by the Apostle Paul in Philippians that we should work at thinking like God thinks.
That's good.
We should approach the matter of our thought life and the use of our mind to conform to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're also told that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the Bible makes it clear that God has emotions. He doesn't have a body like ours. He doesn't have a mind like ours, but he has emotions. He is an emotional being. I'm going to give you just a few seconds to think about that. God is an emotional being. We tend to think of something as we know it or as we experience it. So when I say that God is an emotional being, that God has emotions, we compare that to our emotions. God is a person in that he is a personal God with a mind, a will, emotions of his own, but they're not like our emotions. One writer on the subject said, and I quote, "To deny God emotions is to deny that he possesses personality."
Amen.
He is a person. And no person exists without emotions. It's just that we don't usually, at least I have not, prior to, and I don't remember if I heard someone speak of this subject or if I read it. But somewhere the thought was put to me, does God have emotions? And I had to say, I don't know. Does God, you just don't typically think about the matter of God and emotions. As humans, we respond to things in this world. We respond to them physically and we respond to them spiritually. Now, let me stop again, just like I did with the word repent. When we as Bible believers who meet in our church, and others of you that may be viewing that meet in similar churches, when we use the term spiritual, we're thinking of an individual being under the control of God Almighty, being led by the Holy Spirit. We are thinking of an individual who is not approaching life carnally, but rather they're doing it in the spirit. And so we use the term spiritual in a biblical sense. Well, now you must understand, and if any of you have watched television, you have likely heard from various places, people say, well, I have a spiritual life. Oh, and you think to yourself, you know, because maybe this is an entertaining person or maybe it's a sports figure, and you hear them say, well, I have a spiritual life, and you, oh, wonderful, they're a Christian. No, that's not how they're using spiritual, unless they identify it as a believer. What they're saying is, beyond my physical being, there is an inner man, and that inner man, they seek to express the inner being. People with yoga do this, okay? They take their positions, they go through their various exercises, and what they're trying to do is to develop the spiritualness within them. Now, there's many places you'll find this to show up. I think the term, okay, I'm not positive of this, but I think the term is kundala. And it's in the inner core of man. When you're hearing, reading, or someone is talking to you about developing, and you need, in order to move your life forward, you need to develop the inner core. That's Eastern mysticism.
That's right.
100% pure. And that's what Eastern mysticism does, and that's what yoga is. I know yoga has been adopted as exercise. There are foolish Christians who have adopted yoga just as exercise. We don't get into all the other stuff. We just do the exercise. You mean you can't exercise without yoga? How limited are you in your thinking? You don't need yoga and an opening up and exposing yourself to all of the ungodliness of Eastern mysticism that yoga does. Oh my goodness, I just lost probably about half of my unsaved friends. So when I say that we as humans respond to things in the physical and spiritual, you have to understand that man is a spiritual being. Now, only when man is born again that his spiritual being then becomes the possession and property of God, and God Almighty indwells him. Now we're talking spiritual in the way that you and I are accustomed to using it. But these feelings are what we call emotions. Well, where do they come from? How do we account for these feelings, these emotions? Or are emotions just something that happens? We don't have to understand them. We just live with them. Emotions, they're just there. No, everything has a source. Now, let me ask you this question. Are God's emotions the same kind of emotions that we humans show? Let me name some. Anger, compassion, grief, love, hate, jealousy, joy, laughter. These are all emotions that God has. And in the next message, we will turn into Scripture and see Scriptures that identify God expressing these emotions. God's emotions are an expression of His holy nature. God's emotions come from His holiness. So when I ask the question, are God's emotions and our emotions alike? Not in that sense. Ours don't come from holiness. Our emotions come from the flesh. Even a good emotion, like love, if it is not produced by the Spirit of God within us, then it's produced by ourselves, and mostly, okay, I want to be careful about speaking in absolutes, mostly for the purpose of self-benefit. The ultimate of that is when a young man says to a young girl, if you love me, you'll do it. No, doesn't have anything to do with love. Okay. All right, God's emotions are an expression of His holy nature. They come from His holiness. Our emotions are a reflection of God's emotion. We are made in the image of God, are we not? Yes, we are. We're made in the image of God. And therefore, His emotions, we are made in the image of them. So we have all of those emotions that I named off. The only difference, the big difference is that our emotions go wrong because of sin. God's emotions don't go wrong. He only hates what ought to be hated. He only loves what ought to be loved. When He shows compassion, it is not a mere sentimentality. Our emotions go wrong. Now, the ultimate goal is that we would have ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit of God so that He can control our emotions, so that we would not misuse our emotions, either in expressing something or achieving something, that we would hold our emotions in control. God's emotions never go wrong. All right, I'm going to conclude here with Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart, the inner man, is deceitful. Mm-hmm. Our emotions,
yes, sir,
coming from that inner man, can also be deceitful. Our emotions go wrong because of sin. Proverbs 28, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. Proverbs 28, 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We're foolish to live based upon our emotions. When it comes to being Christians, we have emotions. We need to express emotions. The problem, us independent Baptists, we can have a difficulty with emotions because we associate emotions with charismatics, okay, Pentecostals, who have a lot more use of emotions. Well, we would feel, and I believe it's accurate, that when emotions are out of control, even in Christianity, then they become emotionalism. And emotionalism is the problem in the Christian faith, but not emotions. Emotions are not a problem, but emotionalism, that is emotions out of control, that is a problem. Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to share the scriptures. I pray for your leading as I develop this thought of God and emotions, and see from it how we can learn about ourselves and our own life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for watching. We trust you'll come back again on the Lord's Day at 10, 11, and 1 o'clock. All right. There we are. Now you can relax. Now you can relax. Okay. We are going to